All right, everybody, welcome. Welcome back for another show of Soccer Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in this evening. It is June 4th, 2008, and I'm your host, Johnny Ventura. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. It's a pleasure to be back, and it's great to have you guys back here and listening once again to the very first talk show dedicated on the happenings of youth soccer here in Southern California. We're broadcasting live on the World Wide Web through bbsradio.com, and we are situated right here in the hills of the San Fernando Valley. Always a beautiful night around this time. This is the best time to broadcast. We got some nice sunset happening, so it's beautiful out here. It's been very nice, the weather out here in San Fernando. We are going to go with part two this evening, and we are going to welcome back our guest from last week's show, Adrian Trito, senior recruiter for NCSA. She is back with us. She'll be with us very shortly. There's a lot of things that we didn't get a chance to cover from last week's show. A lot of emails and that came in. So this will be a good chance for us to recap a little bit when we get a chance to talk to her and then start some new stuff. So this is going to be an informative show. It's going to be fun. And we're looking forward to you guys sticking around with us. So once we take our first break, very shortly, just head on over to the refrigerator, grab yourself something to drink. Those of you who don't want to go anywhere, just stay right there because we're going to have a good show. Before we head in to talk to Adrian, there's a lot of things been happening in soccer. Man. So you know what? Let's start first of all with the WPSL League. We have a local team here in the San Fernando Valley, Rampage FC. The women's team have just been routing no matter who they are playing. They are taking their game seriously. They are undefeated right now. Their first game was on the May 25th, 2-1 over Ajax. May 26th, 1-1 over Sea Lions. May 30th, that was a Friday night game. That was a great game. They beat 2-1 Claremont. And then the following day, played in Moore Park and beat the San Diego Sea Lions 1-0. So they are undefeated. And they deserve themselves a great rest. So they got a bye this weekend. They got no game scheduled this weekend, and they will be playing the following weekend on June 14th, which is a Saturday. They will be playing at West Coast FC. And on Sunday, the 15th, San Diego United. Both games will be at Granada Hills High School. Saturday's game starts at 7 p.m. Kickoff for Sunday's game is at 6 o'clock. And yours truly, of course, the voice of Rampage FC. I will be there to do all the stadium announcing, players and things. That was fun. I was there on the 30th for my first game on May 30th, Friday, against Claremont. That was fun. That was really nice. It was nice to meet people that came up to me and said, hey, I listen to your show. I like it. And so it was nice to meet the listeners face-to-face instead of actually reading their emails all the time. So good luck to Rampage FC women's team from WPSL. Go get them. And congratulations on being undefeated. Another local team out here from the PDL League is Legends, Los Angeles Legends. They made it to the U.S. Open Cup. Now, their first round match is going to be on June 10th. That's against Crystal Palace at 7:30 p.m. All right, and just to let you know, not even the Los Angeles Galaxy qualified for the U.S. Open Cup. So Legends, they're doing well. They're doing extremely well. They to make it to the first round of the U.S. Open Cup, they annihilated the Earthquakes 5-0. Their first round match is on June 10th at 7:30 p.m. against Crystal Palace. Head on out there to check out the matches. If you want more information about their leagues and about their teams, just log on to legendsfc.net. This weekend they have their Legends Classic, which is a youth club tournament. I'm going to be out there with the staff from Soccer Radio. We got a nice little booth out there. We're going to set up out there and one of the fields out there. So come on out, say hi. We'll be out there for a couple hours and, just basically talking to people, getting a chance to give a little PR about us and so you guys can find out what Soccer Radio is all about. So you can always log on to legendsfc.net for more information about that. Okay? Before I head on over to Adrian, I got to talk about this. There's a lot of things that have been shaken up over across the pond in soccer. A lot of things. As you know, Manchester United, once again champions, beat Chelsea. Real happy about that. Both my teams did well this year, Real Madrid and Manchester United. So you can imagine the parties that we had over here in the Ventura household. So Manchester United, rumors going around that Real Madrid is interested in Cristiano Ronaldo, that they're approaching him behind the back of Manchester United. Sir Ferguson does not like that. Then yet again, Real Madrid puts out a little tidbit or memo saying, hey, we're not doing this, man. We wouldn't want teams to do this to our players, so we are not going after other players under contract. So looks like that's not true. But Mourinho, do you remember Mourinho, the old coach from Chelsea? Let me tell you something. His bank account's going up. He just signed a three-year deal with Inter to coach in the Serie A with Inter, first-place winners. He has signed a three-year contract with them, so he is back. He will be back on the sidelines and coaching his magic, and that should be fun. And the rumor is, obviously, Drogba is not going to be part of Chelsea. However, Mourinho is going after him. So, you know, you might have Mourinho and Drogba back together again. That should be fun. What else has been happening? Eto and Ronaldinho. Looks like AC Milan want both of them, but I think they have a better chance of getting Ronaldinho over Eto. So, you know, there's still talks about that. Robinho is going around town spray painting on the bathroom walls that the big wigs, the big heavy hitters of Manchester United, the Red Devils, and Chelsea have inquired to his availability. So we don't know anything about that. I don't know if that's a rumor or what, but he is saying that either Chelsea or Manchester United is interested in his services over there in the Premier League. Now, the big story of the day that came out at 1 o'clock Eastern Time that was broke by Goal.com, it's regarding the MLS player, Altidore, Jozy Altidore, okay? Jozy Altidore that plays for the New York Red Bulls. He's the striker for the New York Red Bulls. Now, remember, this kid is only 18 years old. He has been approached, and they have agreed to terms with Villarreal. So 18-year-old New York Red Bulls, ex-New York Red Bulls player, Jozy Altidore, is heading across the pond, signed a contract, and is going to be playing with Villarreal. Oh, my goodness. A lot of things have been happening in the soccer community. I could go on and on and on. A lot of club players have been switching teams, too, out here. So, I mean, this would be like an 8-hour show if I did that. So, that's a little tidbit, a little headliners of what's going on in locally for us in MLS and also in other leagues around the world. All right? I'm Johnny Ventura. Thank you so much for listening to Soccer Radio. Today's date is June 4th, 2008. It is great to have you with us. We're broadcasting live here in Southern California in the San Fernando Valley. We're going to take a short break. We're going to pay some bills. We're going to come back with our guest for part two, Adrian Trito. She is the NCSA senior recruiter, and we're going to talk a little bit more and find out what's going on the do's and don'ts and the happenings about recruiting, things like that. We're going to recap what we talked about a little bit of last week, okay? Grab yourself a drink, go get something to eat, and make sure you don't turn off that computer, all right? Come on right back. We'll be right back after the short break with Adrian Trito from NCSA. You're listening to Soccer Radio.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.
Yeah. No, I'm on the air. Hi, how you doing? This is Wesley Snipes, and I'm sitting here with my Pleiadian and Andromedan and friends. And, you know, we were just kicking it, talking about a little extraterrestrial kind of a thing. We're having a little party together. Everybody's coming through from the galaxy. But, of course, we got to get the right directions, so we got to have the right vibration. Right vibrations is listening to Dr. Fred Bell and the Health and Sciences show on bbsradio.com. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. Go. Where's my ticket for the ship, man?
They're starting to. Maybe they don't want to. But
he still has fans here, you know? This is for all the fans in Germany, actually. This is Senior Sieber calling. I don't need to tell who I am because everybody here knows it anyway. But there's German fans who really want to hear Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show on bbsradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Soccer Radio, a talk show dedicated about the happenings in club soccer here in Southern California. I'm your host, Johnny Ventura. Thank you so much for listening. Today's date is June 4th, 2008. Before we head into our guest, I just want you to log on to our website. If you want to be participating in questions or comments or anything about the show, go straight to our website at bbsradio.com/soccer radio. That will take you straight to our website, and you can click on our email for questions. Or you can go straight to our soccer chat room, which is, they'll take you straight there and just go ahead and type in your questions for our guest this evening. Okay, so that makes it a little easier for you guys. And as always, if you have any stories or you want to be part of our show, you know, we always listen. We had quite a few phone calls last week, people telling us what's going on in their club. And if we feel that, hey, it's an informative show and it's truthful and things like that, we'll be glad to get you on the air. So let me give you a number where you can call. And you call Pacific Standard Time from the hours of 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. PST, Pacific Standard Time. The number is area code 818-340-6509. That's 818-340-6509. Give us a call between the hours of 9 and 3 and let us know what's happening. You know what? We'll see if we can get you on the air, all right? Love to talk to people. Love to get some news out there, some fresh ideas so everybody can listen. All right, let's get to our guest. She's back with us again for part two, and her name is Adrienne Trito. She is the senior recruiting coach for NCSA, and we're welcome to have her back. Adrienne, how are you? How you doing?
I'm good, Johnny. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, thank you for being back. I mean, that's great. I appreciate it. Last week we had a great show. I mean, unfortunately, we had... our listeners was not as much as normal because the Laker game was on. Mm-hmm. And you know the Lakers are in the playoffs and things, so that took a little bit out of our listeners there, and we had a little problem of getting the podcast up for that, for our listeners to listen. They had some problems logging in, so we're going to get the podcast up for you listeners from last week's show. We'll get that on, and tonight's show will be on as well. So you can go straight to part one, go to part two, and you're up to date what's going on. All right, Adrienne, let's recap a little bit what we talked about last week. I mean, let's go over a little bit so that way players and parents can know what's going on. I believe you explained exactly what NCSA was all about. Why don't you go ahead and let them know?
Yeah, basically what we do is we match qualified student athletes with college coaches. So it's basically two parts. We do the education and advising, educate student athletes on how to talk to coaches in all aspects. So how to send emails, how to write phone calls, how to go on visits, you know, everything from the very beginning all the way through making a commitment and, you know, attending that college. Mm-hmm. Then also we get their information, student athletes' information out to coaches. We have relationships with college coaches. From every level from junior college coaches all the way to Division I coaches. So, you know, we're receiving information from them on their end on what they need for their programs, what sort of positions they're recruiting, if we have anyone that's going to fit that profile. We work with student athletes to match them up with college coaches that they're, you know, would be a good fit for them.
And what age do you think is the best for our listeners and other parents, best age that NCSA will be working with players? Or what age do you think is appropriate to start working with them to get them ready for college?
We start working with players. We have actually have a couple players in our program that are even in eighth grade, but I would probably say freshman year is the best time to get started. It may seem fairly early, but, you know, if you get started that early, you know exactly what you need to do. You know your timeline. And you'll be, you know, sitting in a lot better situation come junior year.
And before we got a lot of emails here, so while I'm listening to you, I'm starting to put things together here little by little.
Okay.
I remember one email that came in. Let's see. We have Latif Alkasir, who plays
boys club soccer. He plays for a boys under 13 team for Valley Boys Soccer Club. He sent an email and he says here, please give us some tips regarding the college recruitment and scholarship programs. Thank you and good luck. So Latif, thank you for listening.
All right. Well, I guess just for information on types of scholarships that there are at different schools, is that you think what he's looking for?
Yeah, I'm sure that's what he's looking for.
Yeah. Well, basically you can get scholarships at any program, Division I, Division II, Division III. It's just, they're going to be called different things at each school. Basically, just for a general rule of thumb, Division I programs that are fully funded, meaning they have the money to give out all of the scholarships they're able to, can give out to men 9.9 scholarships and to women 14. Division II programs can give out 9 full scholarships and 9.9 to women. So then that was 9 to men. And then NAIA schools can give out 12 to both men and women. That basically means that they have, let's say you're a woman soccer player at a Division I school and you're at a fully funded Division I school, you have 14 full scholarships, or the coach has 14 full scholarships to split amongst the, 28 to 30 girls on that roster. So they're doing it, and, this girl's getting this percent, this girl's getting 30%, this girl's getting 70%. It changes. Some girls, are walk-ons. They don't have any money. Some girls might be on full rides. So it's really going to depend, and that's solely athletic money we're talking about. Schools can also, at times, package money, and you can have academic money on top of your athletic money. You can apply for other outside scholarships and grants and things like that, and coaches all should be able to help you out with that in that application process for other scholarships, once the coaches, you're in a relationship with that coach and you're talking with them.
Okay. All right. Latif, I hope that answers your question, and we thank you for listening to Soccer Radio. I have another question here, and this question is from Jonathan, and he would like to know, if a player is going to college and he has not a scholarship, but he has a grant, a federal grant, however, mm-hmm. down the road gets picked up by a gets picked up to play soccer, and they give him a scholarship. Will he be eligible for the scholarship, or does the grant take over for that?
You know what? That's a very good question, and it actually depends on each program. Each school in their financial aid office is going to package scholarships differently. So some schools, depending on what scholarship is more, may only let you take, the athletic scholarship or the grant. Some schools may let you, stack them on top of each other and take both. It actually, unfortunately, I can't give you a specific answer. It's going to depend on each school.
It's going to depend on each school. Jonathan, thank you for listening. I hope that answers your question. We also talked last week, Adrian, having the players and, well, the parents prepare their kids to be seen, to be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
Can you recap a little bit again on what are the best means for these youth soccer players who have the talent to either play Division I or II or any college level? What is the best way these parents can notify these scouts, these recruiters?
Well, the best way to get in touch with coaches and get seen and get exposure is the student-athletes actually should be the ones doing all the correspondence. So they should be the ones sending emails and making phone calls on their own behalf. Exposure is a big thing. So if you're playing on a club team that's going to a lot of tournaments that coaches are going to be at, then you need to get your information out to those coaches. You're going to hear throughout the whole entire process, hey, Johnny, you're a great player. On paper you look great, but I need to see you play. Where are you playing at next? So just to start that, basically what student-athletes want to do is send a coach an introduction email just to introduce themselves, tell them who they are, why they're interested in their school. I'm interested in your school for reasons A, B, C. By the way, I'm playing at the following tournaments. Here they are. Here are the dates and the locations. And ask a couple questions. Are you going to be at this tournament? Asking questions is key. Because it's giving the coach a reason to respond back to you, especially if you are a junior and they can respond back, or a Division III coach that can respond back. And, then you start to, having ongoing dialogue and you're building a relationship with that coach. So, initially you just want to, introduce yourself, get your information out to the coach, and then, start asking them, what tournaments they're recruiting at. If you have a highlight video, then ask that coach, would you like to see a highlight video? I do have one available. You don't want to just go ahead and start sending videos to coaches without them being aware of it or knowing who you are, just because they do get so many people that do that. If they're not looking out for your video, they're just going to throw it in the corner and never look at it. But yeah, I mean, to get started, you really just want to, you know, send an email. If you're really interested, you can follow up with a phone call. If you, it is before July 1st, going into your senior year, the coaches cannot call you back, but you can call, a student athlete can call a coach at any time.
Okay. Out here in Southern California, there's a lot of big clubs out here. What I mean by big clubs, I'm talking about no-name clubs, very well-known name clubs, and clubs that have quite a few teams on their roster.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's other clubs here that have either one or two or three smaller clubs, yet they have good players. Do the recruiters or the college scouts, are they more interested in recruiting from the bigger clubs because they will get a better chance of getting a high-quality player, or do they, or it doesn't matter to them? Do they also take their time to go out and look at the smaller individual clubs, the more independent clubs?
Well, I think initially a scout, you know, a college coach is going to, if you're just sending them an email and you're saying, here's my profile, and they don't have video to base that off of, they're going to look at you on paper and they're going to say, okay, this, you know, he plays for this club. It's a big name club. You know, to be playing on this club team, he must be pretty good.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, they are going to base initially, you know, off what they see on paper, off what club teams you play for and how much weight that club team is going to carry. But, you know, they are aware that there are a lot of instances where great players aren't playing for a club team for one reason or another, or, you know, a high-level, you know, big-name club team for one reason or another. So it's going to take a little more work on that student-athlete's part and on their end and on contacting that coach and asking questions and getting feedback. But a coach, you know, if they're interested and they're, you know, you start talking to them, yeah, they'll definitely make an effort to come see you play and come watch you no matter what sort of a club team you're on.
Okay. I got an email here from Alex. He wants to know, why is it that when a player is on a roster from one university and he transfers to the other university, why is it that that year he must redshirt?
I'm going to have to get out my transfer guide for that one.
Whoa, you mean you don't have an answer to this? Alex,
no.
Alex, you won the prize, kiddo. There you go.
Yeah.
Just off that book, Adrian. Go ahead.
It's complicated, Alex.
Uh-huh.
It really depends. The NCAA has a transfer guide, which I have at my desk, because there's a lot of details. It depends on if you're transferring from a Division I school to another Division I school, if you're transferring to schools in the same conference, if you're transferring from a two-year school, like a junior college, to a four-year school. There are, you know, a lot of exceptions, I should say, to the rule that you probably are going to have to redshirt a year. So if it's the first time you're transferring, if you're transferring from a Division I school to a Division II or Division III to Division I, then usually you can go ahead and play right away. You shouldn't, I guess, what I should tell you guys is that if you're thinking about transferring, you shouldn't always think, or right off the bat, you should not initially think that you're going to have to redshirt a year. A lot of people don't. It just really depends on what your situation is, how you stand with the school you're leaving, and you know, the school that you're planning on attending. So really, I will refer everyone to the NCAA's website, which is ncaa.org, and there is a transfer guide there where it will give you specific situations. You know, exactly, you can figure out where you stand, you know, if you're a qualifier, if you're a non-qualifier, things like that, that you have to do your homework first before you figure out what rules you're going to be up against and what exceptions you might be available for.
Okay. All right. Alex, great question. That website for you again is ncsa.org. After the show,
actually,
not
I'm
now.
Sorry, Johnny, just to cut you off. For the transfer guide, it's ncaa.org. So
NCAA. Okay, ncaa.org. The ncsa.org is the one you're
with. And then
with.
Our website, yeah, is ncsasports.org.
Sports.org, okay. And the one that you want to check out, Alex, regarding redshirting is ncaa.org. Go ahead and check that out once the show is over. Don't do that now because there's more information coming. Let's talk about, I remember this email came in last week, about 10, 15 minutes after the show was over. It had to do about injuries. I can't remember who wrote it, and my apologies out there, but I'm going to get your question on the air here for Adrian. If I recall, it had to do if I am on a full ride scholarship and that I get injured and cannot play anymore, my injury is so severe, will my scholarship be taken away or will I still have it? Something to that effect.
Usually it won't be taken away. It can be, though. It's really dependent on the coaches. So what I would do when you are coming in as a freshman and you're talking to the coach about scholarship money or, you know, you can talk about it each year, ask the coach, you know, if I were to get injured and it was a career-ending injury, what would happen to my scholarship money? Would I still keep my scholarship money? I mean, coaches are usually going to give it to you. You know, you're going to have that money until you graduate is typically what happens. But it's something you just do want to solidify with a coach just to check and make sure that you're going to have that security with you as you go through college.
Okay, so that's something to think about before you actually sign that. Make sure
that
it says that you are covered.
It's a great question to ask a coach, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, but from your view, do most scholarships, are they that way? Even if the player gets injured, most colleges will still allow money to be funded to that player? I mean, are they normally all the scholarships like that?
Usually?
Okay.
Usually a coach will do that, yes.
Okay. All right. So that's I'm sorry, I can't remember your name, but hope that answers your question. But it was to that effect about injuries. The money that comes in for, for these players, whether it's football, basketball, soccer, whatever it is, in the Division One, are most of the monies coming in from actual airtime from television, or does any money come in from the alumni?
Where they actually get their scholarship dollars?
Yeah, where's the funds actually coming? I mean, obviously they're not doing fundraisers. I mean, they're not doing car washes and things like that. But the money's coming in from somewhere. I mean, like a Division One. Let's call it UCLA. You know, the big schools, North Carolina.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking big schools here in soccer.
It's from the athletic department. The athletic department has a budget of how much money they're going to spend each year on each team. And, you know, if a school is able to be fully funded for scholarships, then, you know, they're going to be given that money from the school. So whether it's from their endowment or, you know, whatever it may be, then it's not going to be from fundraisers or anything like that. Sports like, you know, revenue sports like men's basketball and football usually, you know, tend to have more, I guess, not scholarships, but, more they get more little services like better equipment and things like that because they are revenue-producing sports. And sports like soccer tend to be non-revenue, so they're not going to get, you know, the best of everything. You're not going to get what the, you know, football team at Notre Dame's getting. But in terms of scholarship dollars, that's coming from the athletic department. It's,
athletic,
you know, budgeted department into their budget for each year.
Okay. And if, I don't know, is every school the same? But last week you mentioned that most of them have a budget for 18 players on the roster, or is that always like that for Division One, or is it different?
No, each school is going to be different. Schools may not be fully funded, and I've used that term a lot tonight. And what that means is basically, if you're a Division One men's program, you're allowed to have 9.9 full scholarships. But some schools might not have enough money to have that amount. So they may only have 8 scholarships to split between, all 24 boys on the team. So it really depends on each school. I mean, some schools, like Ivy League schools, don't even give out athletic scholarships. All the scholarships
they give out.
And why is
that? Why don't they give them out?
They don't give out merit-based scholarships, meaning they're not going to give you money based on merit, based on your grades, based on your athletic ability. They only give out need-based scholarships. Schools like that, if they gave out merit-based scholarships, everyone would be getting an academic scholarship.
And are all Ivy schools like that?
Yes, they are.
They are, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You played for Michigan State, right?
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
Not Michigan, Michigan State.
That's right.
You had a full ride with them?
I did not have a full ride.
You didn't, were you a walk-on the first year? Or?
No, I was recruited and I was given scholarship money to begin with. And it was a certain percent. It was oh gosh, I can't even remember to be, I can't tell you the percent, but it was less than 50% to begin with. And then it went up every year that I played. Usually that's typically what a coach is going to do is, you know, you're going to come in at a freshman, as a freshman, you're usually not going to get a full ride scholarship as a freshman. Most freshmen don't unless you're, you know, a number one, you know, recruit, your blue chip athlete, you're, you know, going to be the next big thing in this program. Unless, you know, and which is a very rare case. So most student athletes are coming in getting, you know, a certain percent of scholarship money. And then it's usually, you know, contingent on how you do, how you play, how much of an impact you are on the team. You know, usually the coach is going to try and give you more and more each year.
Okay. We have an email here. This is from a player by the name of Gordinho. How tough is it to play at the college level? And he has two questions actually for you. How tough was it to play at the college level? And let's see, boy. Oh, and he would like to know where did you first play soccer? Like, what,
okay.
If you came from a club or somewhere?
Yeah. Well, I'll answer the second question first. I'm from a suburb of Detroit, and from the Detroit area, and I played club soccer for Vardar, which is a fairly well-known club team in Michigan for girls. The two big girls' clubs are, or at least when I was playing, were the Michigan Hawks and then Vardar. They're more of actually a big name on the boys' side. But our girls' team was a pretty good team. We were state champions about 5 or 6 years in a row. Fortunately, we never made it out of regionals. But, you know, we did have a pretty solid team throughout, you know, my whole entire club experience. I played for Vardar right when I started playing club until I went to college. So that, you know, was a great experience. And then I played at Michigan State with a lot of other Michigan girls who I knew and who I had played against. The experience, I mean, going from club to college is, I mean, it's a big jump. College is tough, and it's, you know, you're basically there. You're there to be a student, and you're there to go to class. But in the meantime, while the rest of your other fellow students are, you know, studying and, you know, maybe going to parties and having fun, you are playing soccer, and you're, whether it's going to practice or whether it's coming early for treatment or staying late to lift or conditioning, I mean, it's constant, you know, year-round. The seasons are in the fall, but as soon as season ends, you're going to have a little break, and then spring season starts up, which is almost even more conditioning and weightlifting than in the, you know, regular fall season. So, I mean, they have people in place. Each school has advisors in place to make sure you stay on top of your grades and everything's going okay. But that's also, you know, you have to commit as a freshman, at most Division I schools, you have to commit at least 2 hours a night to, it's called study tables or study hall, where they make sure that you study 2 hours a night. So on top of your, you know, class and your practice and your lifting and your, you know, staying after practice to get ice and things like that, then you have to, you know, you go eat and then you have to go to study tables for 2 hours and then basically you go to bed. So it's a huge, huge commitment. And I mean, at every level, from Division I all the way to Division III to NAIA schools to junior colleges, I mean, it's at another level and it's a huge, huge commitment.
Is there, what GPA did you have to keep to stay on the team? Does it vary, or certain athletes have to keep a certain GPA?
It's going to vary dependent on what division you're playing at. What the NCAA has is they have an initial eligibility center, which determines your eligibility, and that's actually just coming in as a freshman. Once you're in as a freshman and you've met their requirements, which is a minimum GPA, minimum SAT, ACT scores, each year that you are at that school, you have to make a certain percent of progress towards the major that you're majoring in. So you have to, you know, pass, you know, X percent of classes, 25% of your classes, you're making this percent of progress towards your major. You obviously, you know, through the school, through the actual, you know, academic side of the school, can't, you know, you don't want to get on academic probation. I mean, if your grades get that low, where it's not even an athletic thing, being eligible, it's actually a school thing, and the school might kick you out, then that's a huge problem also.
Okay. We got an email from Jennifer. Jennifer, who plays with Valley United, the Stars, out here in San Fernando Valley. Her question is, well, aside from that, it looks like Jennifer's interested in playing for USC. I don't know if USC has a good girls team, but I'm sure they got a nice, they got a great men's program over there. I know that for a fact. Good luck, Jennifer, if you head on over to USC. Good luck to you on that. She has a question regarding resume, player resume. She wants to know what exactly should be put on a resume for youth players, so that way it's attractive for college coaches and scouts and scouts to see. She wants to know what should she just throw away, and exactly what should she put on there?
Yeah. To begin with, what you don't want to put on there is, you know, I started playing soccer when I was 5 years old, and I played for this rec team, and da-da-da-da-da. I mean, coaches, honestly, they don't care about that. What they want to know is they want to know your club experience. It's going to carry a lot more weight than your high school experience. So make that prominent. I mean, if you have ODP experience, make sure you put that on there. I mean, especially being from Southern California, that's going to carry a ton of weight. Make, you know, those big, your club experience primarily, you know, what you want to tell the coach about. And when I say club experience, tell them what club you play on. You can break it down by years, like a resume. So 2008 and 2007, I was on this club. We were in the Coast Soccer League. We were a gold-level team. We actually won this tournament and won this tournament. We were finalists at Nomads. And then this coming August, we're going to Surf Cup. And then we, you know, have league play. So, I mean, give them any tournaments, any past things you've done with your club team that are exceptional. And then make sure, as I said before tonight, you want to give upcoming play dates. You want to give camps. You want to give tournaments. You want to give showcases. Anything you're going to that a coach is possibly going to be able to come watch you play at, you want to get those dates out. That can be on your profile or quote-unquote on your resume, or it can be in an email that you're sending. Besides on your resume, besides your soccer experience, your club experience, your any ODP experience, you want to include your high school experience also. I'm, you know, not just throwing that out the window. So what high school you go to, you know, if you're on the varsity team, if you were all CIF, you know, all league, whatever it is, give those awards. You want to give your grades, definitely give your GPA. If you have any test scores, if you take in your SAT, give those test scores. And make sure you give the breakdown. That's very important. So with the SAT now, you have three sections. You have math, verbal, and writing. You want to give all three scores. Schools are still really only looking at math and verbal for eligibility purposes, but they want to know your writing score as well. If you've taken SAT 2s, give those scores. If you've taken the PSAT, so you're an underclassman, give that score. Also give any, you know, other academic awards and any other extracurricular activities. You do want to put those on there. You want to show the coach that you're well-rounded, that, you know, you do other things, that besides being a great soccer player, they're recruiting a great human being who is going to do well and, you know, make their program proud.
Okay. And I would think, like, if they do any little things in the community, if they're holding their own little clinics for free for kids or things like that, that's something that you would recommend to put them on the resume?
Yes. Yes, extracurriculars, when, okay, you know, anything, any volunteer work, any other clubs, any work, you know, jobs that they have, you know, definitely include that on there.
Okay. Well, Jennifer, there you go. You looks like you're going to have to get going on that resume. So good luck to you, and good luck if you get a chance to play for USC down the road. Adrian, I'd like to know, we got an email just came in. Okay. Let's see. I believe we covered this last week, so obviously this is a listener that wasn't with us last week. So for those of you who were with us last week, bear with us a little bit. We're just trying to make everybody comfortable and happy over here. It says, if a player, this comes from a player by the name of Majid, if a player did not receive a scholarship, can he still play for his or her college university as a walk-up?
Yes, you can. Even if you're not receiving scholarship money, a lot of coaches might still recruit you because you're a great player. Unfortunately, they gave away all their scholarship money. So if the coach is recruiting you, but they have no money to give you, then you'd be quote unquote a recruited walk-on. If the coach is actually just needs to fill roster spots, and they have tryouts and you try out and you make the team, then you're going to be a quote unquote walk-on. Just, you know, basically the same thing, except a recruited walk-on was recruited prior to getting onto campus. They showed up for, you know, preseason and everything like that. They knew they had a roster spot once they, you know, were accepted to that school. But, yes, I mean, there's a lot of great soccer players that want to go to a certain school, and it happens a lot at Division I schools because it's hard to play at Division I schools. and get scholarship money. There's so many girls and so little boys and so little scholarships. So a lot of coaches will recruit walk-ons and say, you know, unfortunately, I have no money to give you this year, but you know, in years to come, if you impress me, if you do a great job, then I will try and get you money maybe sophomore or junior year.
Okay. All right. Majid, thanks for listening to Soccer Radio. Hey, folks, if you want to get part of this show here and be part of right here about recruiting with Adrian Trito, go ahead and email us at soccerradio@gmail.com. That's soccerradio@gmail.com. Or log on to our website at bbsradio.com/soccerradio. Scroll down a little bit, and you will see a soccer room, soccer chat room. You can log on there live and go ahead and type your question in there live. So if you don't want to wait for the server to get your email sent to us, you can do it live. And I check that periodically while I'm interviewing our guest, talking to our guest, and get your questions out there. All right? So get it out. Be part of the show. We thank you for listening to Soccer Radio. I want to know, I asked you this question. This is for my son. My son plays club soccer. But I'm a little... I don't know exactly when we should, I myself or my son should actually contact a coach. At what year of his schooling should he pretty much, I mean, have already have everything done on paper what he wants to do? I mean, obviously, when we talked about this kid who has supposedly verbally have a letter of intent to play. Remember the basketball kid that we talked about?
Who's
seventh grade? That either mm-hmm. Kentucky or I don't know who's after him. Obviously, that's mm-hmm. that's very young. Would it be, as they're approaching their freshman year in high school, or should most players who are approaching their eighth grade year in middle school already start getting their resume together and start already contacting the schools they want to play for?
Well, I mean, I'd say middle school might still be a little young. I mean, as a middle schooler, you probably just want to focus on soccer in general, and you know, you're going to grow a lot between eighth grade and junior year. So, by making yourself the best soccer player possible, you're going to do, you know, yourself a tremendous favor. So focus on that. Focus on your grades. Focus on soccer. You know, focus on a great thing to do at that age is set some goals for yourself and say, okay, you know, by this age, I want to be doing this. And that's a long-term goal, but you can just set a lot of short-term goals. You know, whether it's just, you know, days you should go out in the backyard and practice, or, you know, days you should go, you know, run and do some sprints and do some conditioning. You know, that's a great time to just start setting goals to make yourself a better soccer player. You know, it's not, I would say, once you're a freshman, if you want to start emailing coaches, if you have a list of schools you're interested in, go ahead and do so. I mean, I'm not going to tell you no. It's going to be great. You're going to get... you're going to get used to it, you're going to get the experience, and, you know, the thing is, I wouldn't expect a lot back from coaches. They can't, A, respond back, really. They can send you questionnaires and camp invites, general admissions information. But they can put you on their database.
I'm sorry to cut you off there, Adrian.
Yeah.
You said they cannot respond back because, obviously, there's some type of NCAA rule. Explain to our listeners, I know about the rule, but explain to our listeners and parents exactly what does that mean, how they cannot respond back verbally to you. Why is that? I mean, what are the consequences for those coaches?
Yeah, the consequences are going to be deemed by the NCAA if you, you know, get quote-unquote caught, and, you know, what they're going to do if they're going to suspend scholarship money or whatnot. But the rules are that college coaches cannot send direct recruiting material. So that means emails and specific, you know, handwritten letters or letters to a student-athlete saying, you know, you're one of our top recruits. Specific recruiting materials until September 1st going into their junior year.
Okay.
Which means that you have 2 full years as a freshman or a sophomore where all you can receive things, but they're not going to be specific. They're going to be camp invites, and they're going to be questionnaires, and they're just going to be general soccer program information, general admissions information, or a letter saying, per NCAA rules, we cannot contact you until September 1st. Of 2009, but, you know, keep us updated with how things are going.
The player can contact the coach with no problem, though.
Yes, they can.
Okay.
So if, you know, if you're extremely interested in a school, if, you know, you think you're at that level, go ahead. You know, you can call a coach at any time. And if that coach answers the phone, then you can talk for as long as it's possible. A lot of times you're going to get a voicemail. If you leave a voicemail, a coach cannot call you back until they cannot make direct phone calls to a student-athlete until July 1st after junior year. So that's July 1st going into senior year.
Okay. All right. So now that I understand that now, that's some, okay. We have a question about videos. We covered this last week. Kind of like the same format what Jennifer was asking earlier. Someone, no name, sent us an email here regarding video. What exactly should be put on video? What is going to be attractive for the college coaches? I mean, do they want players talking, interviewing about themselves, or they just basically want to see the player just tidbits here and there of them juggling or entire games? I mean, do coaches actually sit there and watch? I mean, do they actually watch the videos, or do they just look it over and next thing you know, it's just, you know, put off to the side there?
Well, if they're expecting a video, then they're going to watch it. If they know it's coming and they want to see that player more, then they're going to watch it. To start with, I would start with a highlight video. You can do a little introduction, you know, 30-second introduction. Hi, this is who I am. This is where I'm from. I'm number 8, and I play outside mid. Whatever it is that you want to, you know, alert them to that. But what you want to do is, if you have a highlight video, ask a coach if they want to see it first. You know, coach, send them your resume so they can see, you know, on paper what sort of a player you are, and then ask them, you know, after seeing this, would you be interested in seeing my highlight video? I do have one. And then if a coach says yes, then they're going to be on the lookout for it. Go ahead and send them that. Be prepared for them. They're not going to recruit you. No coach is really going to recruit you off of a 5-minute highlight video. So after that, they're going to ask you for if you have more game tape. So if you have full games, don't just think that they're worthless. They're not. They, you know, if a coach has no other way to see you play, they're going to ask you for a full game tape, and that is when they'll sit down and watch a full game, is if they, you know, you're a top recruit, but they have no other way of seeing you play, and you have a game to send into them, then they'll go ahead and watch a full game. But you should never just be sending full game tapes to coaches, out of the blue. You know, coach, hi, I'm interested in your school. I'll watch my tape. They're not going to do it.
Okay. Division II colleges, somebody wants to know here, what are the top 10 Division II colleges for soccer, and also the top Division I colleges in regarding scholarship funds. So let's go with the Division II. What are the top, let's go with the top 5 Division II colleges in soccer.
You know, there's a lot of good programs out there. I know Grand Valley State in Michigan was ranked number 3.
Okay. Grand Valley State.
Yeah, Grand Valley State in Michigan was number 3 coming out of the season.
Okay.
You know, you can find actually full rankings on the NSCAA's website.
Okay.
Their Lincoln Memorial in Tennessee is usually a perennial powerhouse. Missouri, University of Missouri, ROLA, which is actually now Missouri Institute of Science and Technology, is usually a great school. Florida schools like Tampa, usually a great, you know, good Division II soccer school. Let's see here. I'm trying to.
But it all depends also basically what you want to major in, too.
Exactly.
You know,
you're going to school.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
for example, the first one you mentioned, the one out in Michigan, I mean, I don't know what they're known for. Let's say if they're known for architect, but this particular player is interested in broadcasting or is interested in business, something that has nothing that another school would give better in academics, but however, they're not that strong in soccer. That's another thing. I remember an email coming in about that. Should players take that in consideration? It was something about that. Take that in consideration. A lot of players, you know, everybody wants to play for the big names, universities. I mean, you hear these kids, UCLA and this and that. And they all want to play for the big names, even when they hit the pros.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the big names. Explain to our youth out there that, hey, sometimes you can still do well in soccer, but concentrate, you know, regarding your major. Obviously, that's the first thing they should be focusing on. Is the major, because what is the percentage of that these players turn pro? 1%? Not even that?
Yeah.
But 0.8% of it's very, yeah, it's not a lot. It's very, very low. I mean, to have the Freddie Adus and Donovans, I mean, it's very rare to have something like that. So try to educate our youth out there, our players out there that, you know, about their major and they should, when they interested in playing for university, that the major should come first and not basically the high level of soccer that college has. I mean, do you agree with that or?
Oh, I agree with it 100%. You're going to school you're going to graduate and you're not going to be a professional soccer player. Graduating with a degree and, you know, starting in the workforce and getting a job. So that should be your number one priority. And school is trying to make it your number one priority. You're going to have the best experience if you go to a school where they want you to play soccer there. So then they're going to help you with soccer and they're going to help you with academics. Schools where and they're not really giving you the time of day and you're, you know, trying to fight for a spot on the team, you know, might not be the best fit for you. I'm trying to say is that a lot of Division II and Division III schools are wonderful fits for a lot of kids. I mean, they're even smaller. They're going to give you more attention, and they're going to give you, you know, you're going to have a great soccer experience there. You're going to maybe be the all-star on that team as opposed to the bench warmer on a Division I team, and which is going to make your college experience probably a lot more enjoyable. And, again, it's you're not going to college for the soccer, so no matter what level you're playing at, you want to look at the school and what sort of majors they offer and what if it's going to be a good fit for you academically.
Okay. No, that's great advice. This evening we have, once again, our guest is Adrienne Trito. She is a senior recruiter with NCSA. This is part two, and we welcome you. Once again, we're going to be on for a few more minutes. We're going to take a short break. You want to be part of this show, send us an email at soccerradio@gmail.com or log on to our website at bvsradio.com/soccerradio and you can put your questions in there to our soccer chat room. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back with Adrienne, get some more questions in. This show is more dedicated to what we did not get a chance to ask Adrienne. Obviously, a lot of these questions, the way they're coming out, we have a lot of youth listeners this evening, which is great. I'm glad the youth is listening. I'm sure the parents are listening too. So it's nice to get these questions out and were great questions for Adrienne to answer. So we'll be right back. We're going to take a short break. This is Johnny Ventura, and our guest this evening is Adrienne Trito, and you're listening to Soccer Radio. We'll be right back.
There's something about the way you try to love. It's getting right to me, deeper than it really should. What are you, an angel, or just looking that good? When you take your time, you are so divine. I'm not surprised, I'd like to watch you in this life. Strong.
Welcome back. You're listening to Soccer Radio. This is Johnny Ventura, your host, June 4th, 2008. Thank you so much for listening. We are the show dedicated on the happenings of youth soccer here in Southern California, and our guest this evening is Adrian Trito, senior recruiter from NCSA. Today's show is part two, so basically we had this show last week, covered other questions and other stuff, and most of the show has been dedicated to you listeners, emails and things. We would love to have you guys on the air and ask your questions personally. However, we're not set up for that yet, and hopefully in the next week or two that is going to happen. So bear with us. That will be fun that you guys actually hear yourselves on the air and ask our guest questions. Adrian, we have a few more minutes this evening, and we have an email here that came to us from a parent whose kid plays with the Patiadoras. Patiadoras is located south of Southern California. Patiadoras. They play in the Coast League, and they also play in the Presidio League out here in Southern California. This parent is her question is about player burnout. She has a girl who plays U15.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, she says that the girls, first of all, she loves soccer. Her daughter loves soccer. However, she feels that due to so many practices that her coach has, since they hit U15, they've been going, last year they went twice a week, now they're going four times a week, along with their studies, along with family gatherings and things like that. She is worried about not player burnout, which eventually is going to lead into all this. She would like to know if you have any suggestions on what she can do to have her daughter balance out her outside activities along with her soccer activities so she doesn't get burned out.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, four times a week for club practice does seem like a little much. I guess I would just, you know, my advice to her would be to listen to her daughter. You know, if her daughter's okay with it and her daughter can, hey, her grades aren't slipping and she, you know, still has a social life, she can still hang out with her friends when she wants to, and she's not complaining, I mean, she's, you know, totally fine with it, then, you know, a lot of kids, you know, are able to balance a lot of soccer and school and everything else. But if it, you know, if it is getting to a point where, you know, it's, you know, her grades are slipping and she's, you know, starts to not like soccer anymore, she doesn't want to go to practice, she doesn't want to go to her games,
mm-hmm.
You know, then that's a time to kind of really listen and see, you know, what might be best for her, whether it is maybe, you know, going to a club team that has a little less of a commitment, you know, might be the best, you know, idea, or you're talking about what other things that she can do to, you know, make sure she's in touch with everything, with her school and with her friends, yet she's still able to get help for school, like going to tutors. You know, if it gets to be too much, if, you know, the soccer does get to be too much, then, you know, scaling down is probably the best idea. If it's just, if the soccer's not the problem but the grades are slipping for other reasons, then,
mm-hmm.
you know, going the academic route and getting tutors and extra help might be the best route. So I think it's a big thing of just listening to your son or daughter and seeing exactly, you know, how they feel, if they hate it, you know, if they can't stand going to tournaments or practices, you know, then it's probably time that changes might need to be made.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Good advice. So soccer mom, Patiador soccer mom out there in Southern California, further down south, close to San Diego, thank you for listening to Soccer Radio. That's a great question. We're getting close. We're at the top of the hour here. And once again, our show went by pretty quick. You're listening to Soccer Radio. This is part two with Adrian Trito, senior recruiter for NCSA. Before we say goodbye to you guys, and we thank our guest, we're going to have a very special show next week. And we have Sandy Castillo with us. She is the co-founder and chairperson for Topps Soccer. Now, those of you who don't know what Topps Soccer is all about, it's a very special organization that helps out kids with Down syndrome, basically to experience soccer. And they have their own league in fall, which is a great league. And throughout the summer of every year, they have their certain events that they do. And there is a great event that's happening on the 28th of June for Topps Soccer. And we're going to have Sandy Castillo with us next week on Wednesday. She was supposed to be with us tonight, but we decided to bump her down, with her permission, of course, and of course, a lot of apologies, but we wanted to get Adrian with us back before the part two just lagged on a couple weeks down the road. We just wanted to keep it fresh. So Shield Sandy will be with us next week on Soccer Radio. Tune in for that. And it should be a real nice show. Real nice show. So we're looking forward to having you guys with us for next week's show. Adrian, again, time went by. And,
I know, it goes by
and
so
fast. And the emails just keep coming in. It's amazing. I knew this topic is important because there's a lot of questions that were coming in last week and throughout the weekend. You gave out your email address last week. You want to do that? In case anybody has any questions for you, go ahead and give out your email address so if parents or players want to email you some questions.
It's as in my first name, Adrian, and then my last name, Trito, T, as in Tom, READ, as in David, O, at ncsasports.org.
Okay. And if you missed that, of course, you can always log on to our website or send us an email. We'll be glad to forward her, Adrian's, email to you. So go ahead and ask her any questions. She seems like a cool girl. You know, I don't know.
Thanks, Johnny.
Yeah, I mean, this is your second interview, correct? Your second radio interview?
Yeah, this is it. This is my second one.
I'm telling you, pretty sure we'll be hearing her all over the place, all over the nation. So,
we'll see about
that. She is from Troy. She played with Michigan State University, and now she's dedicating her time with NCSA, helping out over there, and we appreciate her for that. Adrian, thank you so much for being with us this evening, and again, for coming back and dedicating your time and being with us and helping out the soccer community out here in Southern California.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thanks for being with us. And I want to let you know that Soccer Radio is owned and trademarked by Lucky Bum Productions Incorporated and distributed by Youth Sports Radio Network. Shows are produced and aired at the studios of Platinum Sound Entertainment. All shows are copyright. Any reproduction or retransmission without the written consent of Lucky Bum Productions Incorporated, Youth Sports Radio, Inc., and BVSRadio.com is strictly prohibited. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Don't forget, if you have a chance, to head on out to the Legends Classic. We're going to be out there. The Soccer Radio crew is going to be out there. I got a team playing out there and a boys 13. And then on top of that, I'll be out there with my crew from Soccer Radio. If you see our booth, come on up, say hi. Fill us in some information of what's going on in your neck of the woods out there with club and your team and just let us know. Give us the feedback. This show is about Southern California, it's about the kids, and we need to get the feedback from the soccer community out there. Let us know how we're doing and what we're not doing to improve the show. So that's one thing. You can always email us, too, or give us a phone call at 818-340-6509. All right, well, this is it. We're done. Thank you so much for tuning in to Soccer Radio, the very first radio talk show dedicated on the happenings of youth soccer in Southern California. We broadcast live over here in San Fernando Valley. I'm Johnny Ventura. I'll be here next week, same time, same internet channel, so we'll see you then. Adrian, good night. Thank you for being with us. Good night, everybody. We'll see you out there at the Legends Classic. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Marco May, and you're listening to the number one internet radio network.